Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office. Welcome to our podcast. This is CPA Firm Tech's The Tools You Need to Know, Part 2. I'm actually off today. This is a recording from a recent state conference, so I hope you enjoy. This is the second half of our presentation looking at today's best technology to be implemented into a public accounting practice. Public accounting has so many incredible opportunities to improve, whether it be client relationships, more effective management of staff, being able to increase effectiveness and throughput through our firms, and more. And often we're giving all these incredible great recommendations to our clients, but yet we don't implement them ourselves. In today's class, we're going to look at stuff for us. We're going to look at the tools and techniques, products and services, platforms and apps, and more that can help improve your public accounting practice. Whether you're a small firm or a big firm, there are plenty of ways that you can improve. We're going to be looking at, for example, some newer apps and technologies for managing client engagement in terms of how you can communicate more effectively with your clients through things like a client portal and more. We'll talk about some of the newer hardware you might want to consider. For example, some newer scanner technologies you might want to consider, productivity software that's out there. Heck, we have clients, for example, that are now invested in cryptocurrency. What are some software and tools that are out there that can help us more effectively manage their portfolio to ultimately give them better advice? This series, we look at stuff, all things public accounting practice, to help you make good and effective decisions on the technology you choose to implement in your organization going forward. Now, we're going to get started here just in a minute, but I do want to remind you that if you are a public accountant, if you are a CPA or some other professional that needs continuing education to keep your license, guess what? Boy, do I have a deal for you. You can earn CPE credit for just listening or watching today's podcast. After attending our podcast for today, head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code CFT2. Again, that is cpetoday.com. Use course code CFT2, and you can earn a credit for today's class. How cool is that? You're already listening to a podcast or watching it on YouTube. You can get a credit by just heading on over there. So we hope you'll consider us for any of your continuing education needs. Beyond this podcast, we've gotten compelling courses in audit, accounting, technology, and more. Just about everything you would need to know to be on top of your game as a public accountant. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the recording. I'll join you at the end of our presentation for our review questions and to wrap up for the day. Enjoy the show. Now, client experience, what has it been? I would say it's a very disconnected experience for a lot of people. You know, the CPA is just somebody who sits over there that I talk to once a year. They're not really folded into the integration of our business, nor are they involved really kind of on our business planning. That's not the way it should be. You know, as I've told you, I really feel that where we can be successful is on the trusted advisor side of the organization, and that we can, through proper use and effectiveness, we can really kind of help our organizations grow and find new opportunities to be successful inside of their markets and what they're trying to do. Okay, so also, the way that we have been dealing with our clients is typically through many, many, many channels. We are, for example, dealing with them through email channels, through text channels. Hopefully you're using a portal of some sort, lots of different opportunities for portal tech. But, you know, I could tell you that for your average accountant, I mean, they've got this, they've got an office phone, they've got typically multiple emails, and it's very manual. Additionally, we're also getting our clients sending us stuff in a lot of different formats that require a lot of emailing back and forth. Okay, that's how it is. What should it be? Well, in my opinion, it should be collaborative. You know, we work throughout the year on a variety of different topics, helping you grow your business hand in hand. Okay, we should choose a single method for interchange of documentation with our clients. Personally, I would say that my personal favorite would be that client portal where it automatically manages that data for us. Okay, they should be able to easily send data back and forth. Maybe our firm, for example, considers a dedicated mobile app. Honestly, never been easier before. And you could build stuff that I think is quite effective for a reasonable fee. Now, a lot of organizations are migrating towards advisory services. Okay, what I would encourage you to think of
is the whole of a client approach, okay? Value-added billing, what's the lifespan, what's the total revenue opportunity for a client, and trying to evaluate the life of a client holistically, not just in the context of a single engagement, you know? A good example of this, you know, it's a very simple example, but I think you'll like it. How many of you have ever been to Costco and gotten a hot dog you know, a little snack bar they got out there, or, you know, gotten a $5 roaster chicken, you know? Costco doesn't make money on those things. However, they know that if they can get you there, you're going to spend $300 in their store, you know, and those are lost leaders. You know, they tend to look at the whole value of a client and focus on, you know, all the things that will increase revenue, but not the individual items. They try to look at it holistically. Okay. The whole of a client approach leads to a different form of relationship. It's more conducive to include additional services that we haven't maybe done before than that. And it's more than just numbers. It's more than just transactions. It is very relationship driven versus very transactional driven. You know, I was having a conversation with a new client recently for us and from the software development side. And when you work with a software developer, I mean, it is just like with the accounting firm, it is a very intimate relationship, and it is not a relationship that can be broken apart easily, you know? So, you know, this is a relationship. I mean, there are going to be things that we're going to be able to do cheaply, and we're happy to pass those savings on to you. And there's going to be other things that aren't, but I would encourage you to kind of think about the value of this and having somebody who's going to give you good advice that has your interest at heart 100% of the time. That doesn't come cheap, and nor should it. You know, I can tell you loyalty is hard to come by these days, and building that relationship is very important. Another quick example I'll share with you. A very, very dear client, one of my absolute first clients that I ever got, and I've worked with them now for 12 years, you know, even longer than that, probably like 15 years or so, were almost completely wiped out during COVID. You know, they went from being set up to have an absolute monster of a year, you know, to having 90%+ of their revenue just come off the table. They're in live events, you know, and the entire basis of their business is designed around getting people to come together, you know. Well, you can't do that right now. Even under the best of circumstances in most of the country, you can't do that. You know, as such, we haven't been, you know, our firm has not received compensation for a year, but yet we're still performing limited services for them. And, you know, I think that's valuable, you know, because I know that if they make it through this, that client's going to make us whole. And I feel that that relationship is going to come around at some point. And, you know, if I just cut them off at the knees at that one particular approach, I mean, I would be maybe sacrificing years of future revenue. And it's more important, I'm more concerned about the relationship than I am that one individual year. And we'll make it up at some point, and we can absorb some of the costs because of the money that we've made over the time. But keeping them as a client is more important. Relationships are indispensable, and in the room when the decisions are made, it creates and compensates the firm based on that value provided. I can tell you this, again, if that client makes it, I know the owner, I know he'll never forget it, and he'll never leave, you know, and that is important to us. Transactional, we clean things up after the fact. It's uncoupled from value creation. We perform a service. It's an expense that the client wants to decline over time. I want it to go up, they want it to go down. You know, so I would tell you to kind of come through your client framework and kind of think through some of these things, you know, your advisory services, the power of process, your focus. You know, I would tell you that the primary thing you should be thinking about is your advisory services. The secondary thing you should be thinking about is your advisory service. The third thing you should be thinking about are your advisory services. You know, and you can leverage a lot of different things about this, but if you take the conversation away from being transactional and rather focus on the value that you provide, everybody wins. You know, it is going to give you leverage. It's going to give you scalability, consistency, and quality control. Personally, I'd rather work with less clients and make more money from those clients than more clients and make less money from each individual one. I'd rather focus on creating standard operating procedures and standard value creation across my clients. And it doesn't mean that we can't still offer tax, audit, client accounting services, and more. We're just working more on the consulting side of this, and we're creating value at every step. Okay. We want to win. We want to win new clients of the right kind. We want to increase our average client spend. We want to nurture our clients and our people and keep our staff happy. Just as a quick side note, I will tell you the most important people in my business are my staff. We, on average, take 4 months to hire somebody. And I'm not happy with that number. I wish it was a lower number. But almost everybody in the firm has been with us for years at this point. And their happiness is incredibly important to me. And a toxic client, man, can it just absolutely nuke your business. So traditional businesses are compliance focused. You know, what we want to ultimately kind of come into is this way where we can provide both advisory and compliance, because we can do both of these things at the same time. Our advisory strategy should be client-centric, and it should be our primary growth method for the organization. We should understand that we can win with this, and we should set up our relationships to win. And we should do this through effective planning. So find processes, find standard operating procedures, find a way of being able to do this, find new ways of being able to integrate into our clients' businesses to help them at every step of the way. So the next thing I want to talk about is picking a niche, okay? So what are some advantages of niche in working in a specific vertical? Well, it allows us to build expertise, thought leadership, and a reputation in a particular industry. I can tell you for myself, again, software developer here, I get people all over the country calling in CPA practices, asking me about how to do software in the context of accounting and what that actually means. It's wonderful, you know, and I've focused on that over the last couple of years, and building that kind of expertise has allowed me to get even better at the job that I do. It helps promote efficiency. It doesn't matter how big you are at this point, you know, and in fact, size is irrelevant in a lot of ways. I mean, expertise and knowledge on something is really important. Funny enough, so I have a dear client of mine, a different client than the one I was mentioning prior. They've always been in Canada, recently decided to move to the United States, okay, where they're going to open up an office. They didn't talk to me about this, but they essentially hired staff, funny enough, in Texas, and I don't think they realized it at the time, but by incorporating here in the United States and opening an office in Texas, they created some tax implications now because they're no longer a international business. They're a domestic corporation. Well, there's a lot of specifics, and there's tax treaties between Canada and the United States, you know, and how that should apply. I knew enough to know that this was not my area of expertise. And so I ended up referring them to a lawyer who's also a CPA, who is also a dual citizen in Canada and in the United States that solely works in technology to help them navigate the specific requirements of coming into the United States market. And I mean, this guy's knowledge, he was incredibly helpful, was like super, 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 super niche. And we had a great conversation, and I referred the business to him. But by having that kind of niche focus, technology companies operating between the United States and Canada, it's not a huge market, but man, does that expertise really make a big difference? And it's just the guy, he's got probably a few other people that help him, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the advice and the knowledge being able to navigate that is what we were looking for. I would tell you, pick an industry, pick a service line. For me, okay, my industry is in mostly e-commerce organizations, and we solely build accounting and e-commerce tools for those organizations. So how do you do this? Talk to your clients and talk to your team. Create a business model. Once your clients tell you, they'll tell you what kind of services that they want and what type of industry they want to focus on. They'll probably be able to refer you to other organizations as well and figure out a way to make this work. Preferably, selfishly, do not tie it to hours. I mean, I made that mistake a long time ago, and we're working through resolving this. By not being a product-focused company, we've tied revenue to the number of people that we have and the number of hours we can work. If you could productize what you're doing, standardize what you're doing, and make it so that it doesn't require it doesn't require hours of your life, man, will that prove to be valuable later on. Build a proof of concept and a prototype. See if it works. Build it small scale and grow it. I love doing that. I often will build small things and then scale them. And by building them in small capacity, I figure out what worked and what didn't, and I can easily change it. Cause it's a heck of a lot harder to change when you're this big, versus when it's something that's this big. Find capacity, hire people as needed, and then start finding those clients, monitor those success, and then develop expertise in that particular market. Now, we've got a number of new generation applications that we should think of, okay? And we also got a number of old applications we also need to think of, but how are we going to get rid of them, okay? Old generation paperless stuff. I mean, just scanning something is not paperless anymore. I mean, that's digitizing, and that's a nice step of the way, but, you know, 2006 called, and they want their technology back. You know, when we talk about next generation paperless, it's about eliminating paper altogether and creating processes and technology that essentially automate that right from the get-go. Leveraging siloed offerings from vendors. Okay. I love Microsoft 365, Office 365, as well as the products from these companies listed here, but I need more from you now. You know, and I also need better technology around specific use cases, like in tax planning, for example. So we need to start thinking about those tools in general. Okay, we have new things that we need to be thinking about. More and more organizations and people are getting involved in cryptocurrency. That's going to be your Bitcoin, your Ethereum, Litecoin, and others. I myself have been involved for almost 8 years, 9 years at this point. So if anybody has any specific questions on crypto or blockchain, shoot me an email. I'll give you my contact at the end, and I'm more than happy to talk with you about it. But I will tell you, this ain't going away anytime soon, and it is only going to increase in complexity, and our clients are going to be asking us for these services. So if we cannot be disparaging about this anymore and just say, oh, you know, it's just some investment that college kids do these days. I mean, Bitcoin is a $1 trillion market cap. It is absolutely incredible where this crypto is going, and it only shows signs of increasing. You know, at the time of this today, I mean, it is a massive part of, it's only growing and it's only getting more massive. Just as a quick example here, let me just go ahead and switch over. This is a really cool website. This is coinmarketcap.com, and it tracks the cryptocurrencies as well as their current prices and the market capitalization of this as well. If we look at Bitcoin, it's over $1 trillion. I mean, it is bigger than the GDP of, I would say, most nations at this point. Certainly, almost all businesses. I mean, Apple's $2 trillion, but I mean, 99% of businesses, probably even 99.99% of businesses, don't come anywhere near this. And if we look at the next couple of ones coming down from here, I mean, Ethereum is at $500 billion now as well, and others are only growing steam. And the market, for the most part, is on a tear. It's going to be really kind of interesting to see where this technology goes. As such, our clients are going to be asking us questions about this. And if we are not prepared to answer them, guess what? They're just going to go somewhere else. We also have things for process automation, digital plumbing, and there's a number of tools that essentially can tie all these different solutions together, as well as a number of CAS automation services and automation around artificial intelligence, like Vic AI. Okay, some other trends that we are seeing. Client technology firm tool trends. Video meetings with clients and staff. Okay. I personally think it's fine. You know, our business is 100% remote, and I know a lot of other businesses are as well. And I think if you started in person and then you go remote, you're going to be disappointed. But as a guy whose business has always been remote, business is normal. I mean, when COVID happened, it had absolutely no impact on our organization at all, because we were always remote to begin with. All 12 of us always were remote. We've got people in Oregon, California, Colorado, Illinois, Florida, and even some folks spread across other parts of the country as well. You know what? We use Microsoft Teams. We use Zoom. It's great. You know, and then a few of us will get together throughout the year. My business partner and I will get together and go visit clients and do other things like that. But even our clients, they're spread out all over. There's no expectation, you know, that you have to be in that same space. So for some of you, you might disagree with me. I understand that. But think about the cost savings by moving people remote. Think about the cost savings of having this collaborative cloud-based tech and what that means. I mean, Teams is free. Slack is free. There's a number of these free solutions And 99% of the time, you don't need to be face-to-face. I would tell you all the transactional stuff you can do over video conferencing, the value-added stuff, the relational stuff. Yeah, you want to go ahead and do that in person. So there are a lot of different tools that can do this. I would tell you that for any, you know, I would say for like really kind of like any organization, you probably want two tools for video conferencing. You need an internal tool and an external tool. In our company, we use Teams for internal communication. It's great because it allows for instant integration to our Microsoft account. It allows for instant messaging with people or teams of people, document sharing, collaboration, all right there as well. And in a click, I can video chat with somebody. I don't have to send an invitation. So I could reach out to my partner in Oregon, or he could drop a file to me, or I could reach out to our customer's team in spread across the country and send them information right from the get-go. So I like Teams internally. Externally, though, can't beat Zoom. I think Zoom is great. I'm using it right now. I know you're watching this through a different service, but it's easy. It's effective. It's stable. The quality is great. In my opinion, the audio is the best in Zoom compared to any other tool that's out there. And I think it's a good solution, and it's cost effective too. I mean, if you don't need a huge account, you just pay for the licenses that you need. And in fact, if you run meetings that are less than 45 minutes, you don't have to pay at all. So, I mean, it's a really kind of cool tool for that. So the last thing I'm going to talk about on the trends side of this is staff training and skills improvement. Okay. Now, as CPAs, we've always kind of had, you know, kind of our own methods. You know, we've always been subject to that kind of 40-hour model, which is a full work week. And I think, you know, you can't just solely get your education from CPE these days. And nor do I think it's really appropriate. You know, it's great for like really specific things, and coming to like conferences like this is fantastic. Please keep coming. But I mean, I pick up so much more practical, useful information from all different types of resources. I always am trying to learn. YouTube is my absolute favorite, you know, and I always feel like I'm learning at least one new thing a day from YouTube, whether it be something to help me fix my car or a new way of programming something or answering a question about life and whatever, you know, but just be open that you can really kind of learn anywhere. And it gives you really, really kind of opportunities to be able to connect with experts and to find specific niches that could be helpful. You know, I would tell you, be careful of kind of the, you know, the stuff that is solely free. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of free CPE out there. It's really kind of geared more towards, you know, selling products, you know, versus like industry stuff where we're trying to help each other learn. So lots of different opportunities to learn. I would tell you, always kind of be looking to expand your horizons. And the same thing goes for your staff too. Encourage your staff to learn and to share and to do knowledge dumps with each other. I think that's one of the best things that you could do is in terms of helping other people learn. You know, I could tell you by being a CPE instructor, I've learned more by helping other people learn. It's made me master the skill sets that I teach. Alrighty, let's go ahead and go into our next section, which are going to be tools of the industry. And frankly, everything's just kind of increasing. You know, there's a lot more to know now. We have to be jack of all trades and king of all, really, in the accounting space. I mean, we have so many different applications, software, platforms, and different things that we're doing, all of which can add value to the organization. So we have some core must-have applications around tax, audit, productivity applications. That's going to be your Outlook, your Word, your Excel, your PowerPoint, and others. And there's going to be a lot of other solutions as well. Also stuff around practice management and billing. You know, there's a lot of different tools that you can use to help effectively manage projects, manage your billing inside the organization. Certainly stuff around remote access and hardware. Now, there's also other solutions. You should have them for a lot of different reasons. Document management, you know, especially if your organization has a lot of paper, some sort of solution that can manage that paper can be really effective. Likewise, having solutions that can manage work. Workflow is all about organizing work to be done in a specific way for a specific purpose and done in a specific capacity. Likewise, we have stuff around portals and e-signature, you know, where we can create something, send it out to a client like the 8879, have them sign it and send it back as well. Okay, a couple things on the in each of these major sections. Okay, on the tax side of this, our must-haves, we're going to need some sort of major tax applications. CCH is Access Tax, the Pro Ultra Tax from Thomson Reuters, Intuit's products, Lacerte, Pro Series, something like that. ProConnect Tax, Omnivo Tax as well. Those are great. Other secondary applications you might want to consider if you're doing a lot of tax work in addition to those would be solutions around like work paper management, CCH's Scan and Autoflow, SurePrep's 1040 Scan, tools to manage 1099s and W-2s, as well as automation of research. Man, can they save you a lot of time. I've worked with these tools and they can essentially automate a lot of the data entry and organization. And if you're doing hundreds of W-2s, hundreds of 1099s, hundreds of other applications like that. So, man, does it make life a little bit easier. Now, we can also supplement this with some other stuff as well. Corvi is a really kind of cool solution. I'll talk about that here in a minute to assist with tax planning. You know, and if we're trying to do some more advisory services, that could be really, really helpful. Likewise, if we have clients that are doing cryptocurrency stuff, also, that could be incredibly helpful for them as well. If we have clients that are dealing with fixed assets, and certainly with write-up, this could really help as well. Okay, now other solutions, we can have Diligence. This is for robotic process automation for e-filing. There are a variety of different solutions for estate and financial planning. We have Lisco. We'll talk about that here in a little minute. And other solutions, for example, for doing trial balance or guiding our taxes. Now, a really kind of cool solution that you might not have seen before would be Corvi. Okay. Your firm, for example, offers a variety of different services, you know, accounting, bookkeeping, advisory, other stuff like that. But understanding essentially where the value is coming from and where you can grow can be quite difficult. This particular solution can really kind of help you improve and benchmark your growth, your profitability, and help you find new different ways of being able to grow your practices. And, you know, it can help at all different size of organizations. You know, at certain revenue points, you know, there's going to be certain major growth parts that can really kind of help push your organization to that next level. And Corvi is really kind of designed to help that, specifically in the tax planning and advisory services side of this. Here's an example using Corvi, which you could use. You know, let's say, for example, you wanted to increase your services around tax planning. Okay. Well, let's say you could find the client, you know, some significant cost savings. Well, the planning side of this, the research side of this, you could charge fees for this, as well as implementing what those particularly new strategies are. And then ultimately do the preparation of that work. You know, ultimately though, you know, and under the previous method, you probably just do the preparation side of this, leaving a lot of money on the table. You know, if you could implement a client that will save $25,000 in tax savings and you charge them $12,000 in tax savings, or $12,000 for your particular services, you know what? Guess what? They're still ahead $12,000, and that still can make a big difference. I've broken down what each of those can do here in kind of how that particular scenario would work. But this is a really kind of cool solution to help you identify some different ways that you can help grow your practice and some of the different ways that you can implement new services for your organization. The reality of this is that tax planning is hard. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. So some of the problems in a tax practice, if you're solely just doing tax, there could be a lot of delays in sending and receiving engagement letters if one is being sent. Sadly, not universally done. There could be delays in processing payments on engagement and sometimes starting work before actually getting paid for this. Often there's no structured onboarding process. You know, you might send your client an engagement letter and a organizer, but often, you know, that's not enough. And especially that doesn't help us for other things. You know, for example, you know, the organizer is for a 1040 return. Well, what about for an 1120 or an estate return or 1031? I mean, the way you handle those is excellent. And it's going to vary depending on each engagement. So typically we're doing file requests back and forth by email, which is also unsecured. It always makes me nervous. Reporting can often lag and be delayed. Likewise, our clients can also be delayed as well, waiting till the last minute to file stuff. Even though they extended the tax deadline to the 15th of May, I'm sure my family's practice will get a number of clients walking in saying, oh, do I need to file this return? Well, yeah, why couldn't you have come in February? You had all your stuff, but yet it didn't happen. So a lot of different things here, you know, with respect, and there's a lot of limitations with existing tax practices. And tax planning on this can also be quite difficult for these organizations as well. And most of these different companies and people don't know what questions to ask. They can't accurately project what their savings would be. You know, how much would it be if you toggle between strategies, entities? What happens if you did a C corp versus an S corp versus an LLC or filed it this way or that way? You know, what are the trade-offs, for example, between, you know, filing, you know, with a Roth IRA versus a 401k? You know, what would the savings be compared to that? Well, creating that tax plan and making it consistent is a lot of work, but I think a lot of people can gain benefit from this. And a lot of managers can't do this on their own. And a lot of these different people will not be able to handle this, but using a software package, like I mentioned, with Corvi can really be effective for building organizational competency in that planning space. So what will this do and allow you to do? Ultimately, save clients more and most importantly, save them money and most importantly, allow you to bill for additional services. You can collect your information up in one place. You can automate a lot of the collection side of this. You can focus on results and the value that you're going to add for this particular client. You could build different strategies and you can calculate data at pretty much every single level of input, building a complex, if needed, strategy to essentially help the client figure out what approach to take for their tax returns. And you can build and edit these proposals and just kick them out with the click of a button. So the old way, we prepared returns and compliance. We implemented a single strategy, but it wasn't a comprehensive plan. We were helping clients for a fee. We were looking previously only at a single year or 1 year in the future, not necessarily taking advantage of future returns. We're not planning during tax season. We're expecting the client to come in October when they don't want to be there. And partners, owners are the only ones that are doing this. We're not being able to do this at the staff level. And frankly, a lot of eyeballing, myself included. I mean, I'm pretty good at estimating. I could give you a pretty good idea of what certain things are and how they function. But man, is it great to have the analytics to back that up. Now, what's the new way? Well, we're proactive with this. We're calculating lots of different strategies using the software to analyze not only the current year, but prior years to come up with multiple strategies across multiple different entities and giving the client the best value for the money. And a lot of this will leverage automation, enabling staff, enabling our team to be able to do this without having to involve the partner every step of the way. Now, the next big trend here is evolving blockchain. As I mentioned, increasingly more and more folks are getting involved with blockchain technology. And there are issues with this. I can tell you, I mean, with the way there is so little regulation and so little insight, I'm going to say with respect to here, the United States, we're 10 years behind. I mean, they're just starting to come around with some of this stuff, but it is so far behind, it's practically non-existent. And so there's a lot of issues that we need to think about it. And more organizations are doing things with blockchain and they're also doing things with cryptocurrency. I mean, Tesla, for example, bought $1 billion of Bitcoin earlier this year. I mean, how the heck do you account for that? I mean, what are the controls that are put in place in there, you know, and things that we need to consider? You know, I would tell you when it comes to using blockchain around auditing, there's a lot of stuff that we should be considering around the controls, digital signatures, certificates. We need to, for example, consider how it is structured and how it operates inside of that organization. Now, on the tax side of this, there's also other things that we should be considering too. For example, what is the tax strategy for implementing and tracking this, you know, because I could tell you that if not set up configured, you could put the client, and the client could put themselves into a very, very, very expensive tax position. Most folks don't realize this, but when you buy and sell different forms of cryptocurrency, that's a taxable event. And if I sell, for example, Bitcoin and I buy Ethereum, or I sell Ethereum and I buy Ripple, or if I sell Ripple and I buy IOTA or whatever else, every time of that, I have to calculate if there is a taxable event and calculate a loss or a gain. A really kind of cool solution for those of you who are doing public accounting that have clients in this is going to be the product Legible by the company Verde. Now, what this does is it gathers a lot of the transactional data from the major exchanges and the major cryptocurrencies, and it calculates your taxable position automatically for you. And it pulls in the data, it calculates fair value, calculates historical cost, and then it can generate the reports that can be used for calculating gain or loss, either for financial reporting or for tax reporting. What's cool about this is that it works with a lot of different interfaces. It'll work with Bitcoin, it'll work with Ethereum, it'll work with exchanges like Coinbase and Kraken and more. And they're adding stuff all the time. New wallets, new exchanges, new accounting platforms. And if this all sounds like Greek to you, I do want to remind you about the CPA Today podcast. We've got a whole series on emerging technologies, including blockchain and the impact to the profession. You might want to check out. Working with this is pretty simple. You map in a wallet or you map in an exchange. It will pull that particular data in. You could pull in, for example, a specific address, and it will attempt to go back, grab all the historical information for it, and then try to calculate that specific position for you. And ultimately, what it is trying to do is produce the necessary information so that you can put the right data in the tax return. So you could say, here's the Bitcoin, here's what I bought it for, here's what I sold it for, here's the taxable position, gain or loss. But for some of you who have clients in this, this is going to be incredibly important. I have been involved in cryptocurrency pretty much since the beginning, and blockchain since the beginning. I could tell you, as a technologist, I have no vested interest in misleading anybody here. This technology, I think, will be as impactful as the internet was. I feel in a lot of ways when I look at blockchain tech, I get the same feeling that I got when I looked at the internet in the 90s. And man, look at what has changed in life, you know, from the way that we communicate with people, the way we conduct business, the way we shop, and even the way that we meet our spouses. You know, all of it came from internet-based tech. And I feel like this is pretty comparable. I will tell you that the Legible product is probably the best out there. It's definitely worth a look. It is still really up and coming. And it is also one of the more affordable solutions for calculating taxes for crypto. You can check this out. It's legible.io. And they've got, for example, different styles and products. You know, they've got stuff specifically geared towards tax professionals, which has not existed before this point. And it's very reasonably priced as well. Let me scroll down here to the bottom. Oh, where's their pricing? Yeah, here you go. Okay. Okay. So their tools are pretty reasonably priced. If the client doesn't have massive investments, they can get the whole thing for $49, and then they scale up, you know, depending on how many more transactions that they have. You know, so if they're a frequent trader, like a day trader, you know, there's one set of pricing, but for your average person that's probably not trading that often, that is a very reasonable price for that application. And they've also got firm management tools, which are pretty nifty as well. Okay, on the audit side of this, we've got CCH, Access Engagement, Advanced Flow, and Caseware, all great. On the better to have, good to have, they've got the Knowledge Coach, the Checkpoint Engagement, and audit solution to really kind of help facilitate that audit engagement that you're working with. And there's a lot of other applications you could choose to use around this as well. I'd really check out this MindBridge AI and Lisco for client portal. Lisco, which we'll talk about here in a minute, is a really kind of integrated client portal solution that takes a lot of the headache out of getting the necessary information for a audit engagement or a tax engagement or really kind of anything else. On the productivity side of this, in my opinion, an absolute must-have, Microsoft 365 or Office 365. Microsoft 365 is the SMB product. The Office 365 is going to be the enterprise product. Either one, fantastic. Honestly, can't go wrong. Big fan of Adobe Creative Cloud and the Adobe DC platform if you're generating PDFs. If you want something outside of Microsoft, you can't go wrong with Zoho, and you can't go wrong with Google Workspace. Zoho, of being particular interest, is a really kind of cool solution. Other tools that you might find really helpful, Calendly. Oh man, do I love this tool. And Calendly, what this does is it majorly helps you book your appointments and meetings. Okay, give me 2 seconds here. Okay, so one of my favorite tools to use is this Calendly application. And the biggest reason is that it takes all the headache out from meeting with people. Let me go ahead and show you what I'm talking about. So let's say you give me you shoot me an email and you say, Steve, I really want to talk. I've got some questions about cryptocurrency and accounting. I want to talk about whatever. Okay. Well, how would we normally handle this? Well, we go back and forth 20 times. Okay, you're free on Friday, you're free on Monday. How about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock? Oh, wait, we forgot. You're in Texas, so it's 2 hours in front of me. Okay, instead of doing all of that, one of the really cool services you can use is Calendly. It integrates with your Office 365 account or integrates with your Google account, as in my case. And what's awesome about this is that instead of going back and forth, I could just say, hey, go to my Calendly page, pick a time, and if it shows I'm available, I'm available. So let's say you wanted to meet, for example, today I'm teaching, you know, but I'm not going to be available until the later day. Well, here are my 2 times that are available, and you could choose a time that would work for you. Or if you wanted to meet next week, we've got some availability as well. You know, so let's say you wanted to meet here at Wednesday at, let's say 11:30. Go ahead and confirm it. You drop in your name, your email, tell me what you want to talk about, and that will send a calendar invite to you and to me, putting it on my calendar, as well as scheduling a Zoom conference room for us. Man, is this so much simpler than trying to do this manually. And so I do this across the board now for any appointments. I just let my clients schedule them on their own. And if I am available, I'm available and I'm happy to meet. And I just block off times. I can tell it, for example, nothing, you know, before 8 in the morning or after 5 in the afternoon. You could set it up and kind of schedule it and work around kind of any times that would work for you and for what you would like to do. So this is one of my absolute favorite tools that I like to work with, and I would recommend you check it out. It's actually free, and it's a really kind of interesting and useful tool for what it does. Okay, so let's go ahead and keep moving on here. And I think we've got about, let's see, got about 15 minutes left. So let's talk about some of the other solutions that I think would be useful. Over here, we've got a listing of a variety of different climate payment solutions. Lots of different options here that you might want to check out. These would be useful, for example, for sending out payments to people as well as collecting payments from other people if need be. One tool that I got to show you that is honestly the fever sweep in the nation these days for client payment solutions as well as AP solutions is Melio. If you haven't seen this before, it is absolutely worth your time to take a look at. Melio is a really intuitive and easy way to be able to pay staff, vendors, or whomever else. It's 100% free. They have an accountant's version, which is honestly really cool. And you plug in your banking details for this, and then you can send ACH payments from your checking account to whomever you'd like. It also beautifully integrates in with QuickBooks Online. It makes it fast, efficient, and easy to do. And you can pay either by bank draft or credit card. They do charge if you pay with a credit card because they got to. But you could essentially send either a paper check or a ACH transfer. This is how we pay everybody now inside of our business. I will point out it takes about 3 days to issue an ACH transfer, but you won't regret it. It's so much faster and efficient than sending paper checks, certainly. And I find it more effective and useful than services such as other banking services that are available. I like Venmo on the personal side, you know, if somebody wants to, you know, split a check or something. But when it comes to business class payments, this Melio is probably the overall best. And it perfectly integrates with QuickBooks. So if you're using that application, in my mind, it is a no-brainer for what it does. Okay, let's go ahead and jump ahead a little bit here. And let's go ahead and talk about a little bit on the hosting side and remote access side. So with respect to remote access, you need some sort of cloud offering. You got lots of different options to consider. In fact, you should check out the, if there's a recording of it, we talked about this in our first session today, selecting and vetting technology providers. We went in depth with respect to choosing different tech providers, but you've got a lot of options now, you know, for hosting, whether you want to do it, for example, in a public service provider, such as Amazon Web Services or Azure, creating your own private cloud or pursuing a variety of SaaS solutions. Well, you got to have this now. Other secondary nice to have things would be like multi-factor authentication. I would tell you in a lot of ways, that's not a nice to have. It's a, you have to have it, as well as some other tech that falls along with it. Now, if you're looking to move to the cloud and you're a public accounting practice and you don't have a lot of experience with this, I've got two companies to recommend. One is going to be Centrum. Okay. Centrum is a full service IT solution. They can help you build a cloud technology that will be effective and useful for you. In my mind, this is great for firms that don't have in-house technical expertise. And I like this because it allows you to be able to focus on the stuff you're good at, like accounting, like tax services and stuff like that, but not, you know, letting your tech fall behind. They're really kind of useful in building your own proprietary cloud hosting environment because they're going to build it to order. And what's nice about this more than anything else is that if it doesn't work, if you have a problem, you have a friendly person you can call and get help with. Your major providers out there like Amazon and Azure, they don't have that. They're not designed for you to be able to call. Now, you could do this a number of different ways. You know, my personal preference, if you can, is to build it using VDI technology, virtual desktop technology, preferably using Citrix. But, you know, working with Centrum, you can kind of build any type of cloud you'd like. They also focus on and have really good compliance. They follow, for example, the SOC 2 compliance for company and data centers. If you're dealing with patient data, they've got HIPAA compliance as well as FPIS 140 and others. So overall, I would say that they are one of the better characteristics out there. And one of the things I like is really good characteristics and really kind of good service. They give you, for example, a dedicated project manager. They have a 150-point migration plan. They've got a great testing environment. They've got great staff, really soft handoff between companies, between what you're doing existing and where you're hoping to go. It's good. I mean, if you don't have that kind of technical expertise, I'd recommend that you check it out. It's a really kind of good solution for you. The other one I would also recommend you check out is Ace Cloud Hosting, also a very, very good provider. Okay, let's talk a little bit about hardware. So I would tell you, your computer, believe it or not, not as important as it was a couple of years ago. Why? Because so much of this technology is being processed on the cloud and being done on a data center level, independent of where you are. I would tell you, you know, basic stuff applies here. Make sure you got a computer with a good solid state disk. Make sure you got plenty of RAM. You know, I personally recommend going as much as you can. All of my desktops have 32 gigabytes of RAM, and my mobile computers have 16 gigabytes of RAM. I'm personally a big fan of the, for mobile computers, of the Lenovo ThinkPads. These are fantastic, lightweight, super powerful, and work really well. Certainly all your security best practices like firewalls and things of that nature are nice. Or not nice to have, but required. And I'd also tell you, get a good keyboard and mouse. I'm a big fan of, believe it or not, wired keyboards. I hate wireless keyboards because they always seem to disconnect and the battery die right when I need them. But I am a big fan of wireless mice. Personally, I like Logitech. That's a great brand. I've bought dozens of them over the years. They've always treated me well. Okay, so other secondary stuff. scanners, large monitors, fast printers. These are all nice to have, as well as a nice smartphone. In terms of monitors, I like more monitors than not. Believe it or not, I know you can't see it. I've got 6 monitors here. It makes it so effective being able to work and have a big spread out desk. I'm also a big fan of movable desks. You know, so this desk, for example, is electromechanical and can go up and down. So I like that a lot. And I personally find, as somebody who's sedentary in terms of the work that I do, being able to stand and sit saves my back by the end of the day. Okay. So a few more things that we can go through here. When it comes time to hardware, I'm a big fan of, if you're going to get a scanner, for example, I love the either the Canon scanners or the Fujitsu scanners. I think both of which work really, really well. Canon, I've had tend to have more over the years. They work really well for me. If you're doing a lot of scanning, you're definitely going to want something that's going to be effective for you, that's going to be able to scan at really high speed and store a lot of that data for you. Good news is these scanners have come down a lot in price. You can get them anywhere from about $250 to $500. The Fujitsu ones work really, really well and have a number of options for scanning, whether they be color, simplex, duplex, black and white. You know, you get a lot of different opportunities with respect to this. Another kind of really kind of cool one here is this Fujitsu FI-800R. The scanner is really compelling. It is the size of a tissue box, and it is incredibly easy to use and very fast. It can scan anything from an ID card to legal. It can do simplex and duplex, one side or two side. And it is just really a really nice unit. This is a great scanner if you're going to send stuff at home, you know, send a scanner home with somebody or going to work from the client's office. I think you'd do really, really well with this device. So it kind of gives you an idea of what that looks like here. You know, in this case, they're scanning passports. You can scan them in and out, but I personally think this is a really cool device to use. Okay. Now let's see. We've got a little bit more than we want to get through here. I do want to point out client experience, and maybe this might be a good place to end. Okay. I think that the Hub of Business, again, is this accounting firm, and that there's a lot of value that we can add to our clients, but we need to find new and better ways to be able to communicate with them. You know, the old ways was kind of set it and forget it, just scan and email me your stuff. This resulted in documents being scattered. When they were scanned and implemented, it was really kind of built into a folder structure. You know, it became very disjointed, difficult, and being able to find something was always quite difficult. The new way that we want to do this, when we scan things and organize them, you know, we want it, for example, to be converted into a standard format like PDF. We want to get rid of like TIFF files and JPEGs. We want everything to kind of be standard. We want our documents gathered into one place and ideally structured in such a way that they're easy to work with, you know, typically around client, then by engagement, then by year is a really good way of doing it. We want to be able to use tags, for example, to classify documents, and we want it to be very integrated and easy. A solution that I have found that works really well with this is Lisco. Okay. They've got this Octopus-based approach for management of client data that I think works really, really, really well. They've got a dedicated mobile app. They've got a dedicated web portal. It works 100% with your firm's email. It allows you to easily be able to exchange documents with the client and to and from. It also allows you, for example, to be able to gather e-signatures for the things like the engagement letter, the 8879. And for your firm, it also allows you to gather and manage your working papers as well. The mobile app, though, is where I think it really shines. This mobile app is really compelling. You know, users, for example, can snap pictures with their mobile device, their Android or iOS phone, and instantly get a nice PDF that they can send to the client. I've had clients over the years when I'm working in public accounting, I mean, they'd send me something that I couldn't read. You know, if we had Lisco when I was in that particular point, I could have them have a client portal, sign up and snap that picture. And rather than text it to me or email it to me, then cause me other work, well, they can push it right to their client portal and be able to process it from there. It's also kind of cool. It's got this really kind of to-do list management, which is great. you know, so that we could see both client and firm, you know, what we're waiting on, where the data is, who's doing what and where. And it really provides great notifications to and from the client. And it also allows for that easy exchange of data to and from the client. But a good firm portal solution, in my opinion, is really kind of necessary these days. And it really, with almost very little work on your part, will add so much benefit to the client relationship overall. So I think this is a pretty cool tool. I will tell you, it's very affordable tool. They've got a variety of packages for small firms, big firms, you name it. You know, they've got something that will work well for you.
I hope you enjoyed our presentation for today. Let's go ahead and finish with some review questions. First review question: what is a key concept of an advisory business model? Is it the contractual concept? No, it wouldn't be that. You know, nor would it be the transactional concept. The correct answer here would be the relationship concept. When we're working with a client advisory business model, the relationship is the most important aspect of the business. And that would be that key concept of implementing that style of business into our practice. All right, next review question. What is one of the challenges of tax planning? Ooh, what is one? Well, there's usually a lot of problems here, a lot of issues. Don't know which questions to ask. Absolutely, that's always an issue. Managers and staff can't create their own estimates on their own. You know, typically they need the assistance of senior management or partners. That could be an issue. Creating tax plan takes a lot of time. Absolutely. All three of these are key issues that we face as public practitioners working in tax, that it can be very difficult doing tax planning for our clients. We need to have great comprehensive knowledge of the client as well as of the various tax entity styles and incorporation frameworks that that client might be working with. And that's a lot of, you know, it's a lot to bite off it for any one client. All right, our third review question. What is hardware that is not a core piece of equipment? Okay, what is not a core piece of equipment? A configure computer? No, that's absolutely core. I mean, a computer is our base tool. That's what we do everything with. Is it a firewall? No, you need security. Security is absolutely essential. Is it a large monitor? Well, that's not really core. I would personally say that having a sufficient workspace is absolutely essential, but you know, I've worked plenty of times on a plane with a 15-inch screen. I'll tell you, it makes me appreciate when I'm back at home in the home office with the big 30-inch screens as well. So I personally prefer more monitors and less, and I recommend at least a minimum of 3 monitors that are 24 inches or larger. So correct answer here, though, is a large monitor. That is not necessarily a core piece. I know plenty of practitioners that work pretty much dedicated from a laptop. All right, well, that does bring us to the end of our presentation today. In future classes, we're going to take a look at some more individual applications, you know, individual deep dives on the specific tools and services and platforms and apps that we talked about today. So stay tuned. If this is of interest in your public accounting, so many more great services and platforms to explore. Now, before I let you go, I do want to remind you that you can get credit. So if you're that financial professional and you're looking to get credits for today, you can do it. Head on over to cpetoday.com for all of your continuing education needs. And if you'd like to earn a credit for today's class, it's super simple. Just use course code CFT2. Take a short 5-question quiz and you will earn a credit for today's class. It'll take you all of 2 minutes. Well, we do appreciate you coming and attending our podcast, attending our classes, webinars, and more. We'd love for you to connect with us on social media and let us know what you think. As always, you can find us as at CPE Today and on almost all CPE, on almost all social media platforms. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and more. We're always trying to post interesting news articles and stories and things about the profession to help make you the most effective practitioner we possibly can. You can watch our show live twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, streaming on YouTube and Facebook at 11 a.m. Pacific, but you can also listen to on the podcast platform of your choosing on your schedule, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or more. It's my absolute pleasure being with you here today, and I look forward to seeing you back in the office the next time around. Take care.